It is a great pleasure to welcome to Best Ideas 2024 returning MOI Global instructor Alex Gates. Alex is a partner and co-portfolio manager of the Clayton Partners Decarbonization Strategy and Chief Compliance Officer at Clayton Partners LLC. Founded in 2003, Clayton Partners is an opportunistic value investment firm. It manages a private investment partnership and individual separate accounts. The firm takes a private equity approach to investing in the public markets and looks to align itself with shareholder-friendly management teams that focus on long-term value creation. Alex leads the firm's effort to find compelling public and private investment opportunities in sustainable businesses that have a positive impact on climate change. The current focus is on investments in renewable energy, utilities, biofuels, and recycling. Alex holds a master's degree in business economics from the University of California at Santa Barbara. Prior to his graduate education, he completed a dual major BS in economics and statistics from Cal Poly State University. At both institutions, Alex concentrated in finance and economic modeling. He earned the Chartered Financial Analyst designation in 2015. And Alex, it's always such a great pleasure to have you with us. Your past presentations have added value to our members, and I am grateful to you for taking the time to join us again today. And now I'll turn it to you. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you, John, for having me. It's great to be back presenting at MOI. And with that, I will start the presentation. And we just passed the standard disclaimer here. But here is the executive summary, which has a little bit of information about our firm, which John mentioned in the intro. Clayton Partners has been around since 2003. And we have three different strategies now. We are generalist value investors, but we do focus on a few key themes. And one of those is decarbonization. And it's been a key theme for our investing strategy over the past 5 years. And in 2021, we started CPDS, a strategy to purely focus on value investing in the decarbonization space. And you can see here on this page some of the highlights of this new strategy and why it's so differentiated. So why are we focused on this theme, and why do we think it creates the potential for outperformance in the equity markets? Well, if we look back over the last 5 to 10 years, we have seen governments and businesses align on a goal of getting to net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And if you look at this chart that Bloomberg has put together, they estimate that the investment could reach almost $200 trillion to get to this goal of zeroing out the world's carbon emissions by 2050. And this investment is going into things like renewable energy, the grids, electric vehicles, hydrogen. And you see that annual spending peak at about $7 trillion per year. But we think the most interesting part about this chart is what's highlighted here in this green box. The largest jump and acceleration in this investment is happening right now and will last to the end of the decade. So we think from a timing standpoint, it is a great time to be investing in this market. And it's really when this acceleration is happening and when the winners and losers of this transition are going to be decided. So when I talk about getting to net zero carbon emissions, you know, what does that look like? How do we actually get there? The world globally emits over 51 billion tons of emissions, CO2 emissions per year. And those can roughly be broken up into these five categories that you see here. We have things like transportation, buildings, and heavy industry. And each one of these categories is going to have to get to net zero, and that will have dramatic implications for each of these categories here. But One thing that we think they all have in common is renewable energy can really help solve the decarbonization for each of these categories. And so it really comes back to this electricity sector that is going to be the key enabler to getting down to net zero. And so that is why we are so focused in our investing strategy on the power sector. The global electricity system, in order to get to net zero, it itself will have to decarbonize with the help of renewable energy. Renewables will actually grow to over 80% of system generation by 2050, but the entire generation system itself will need to more than double in size. And you can see that depicted in this graph below. So not only are we going to get, or we will eliminate, a quarter of global emissions that come directly from electricity generation by moving to renewable energy, but we're going to take that new outsized renewable energy and use it to decarbonize the rest of the economy. So we see utilities and power companies really being the key enablers and benefiting from this transition. On top of that, in the public markets, these stocks are relatively cheap compared to market PEs and their growth prospects. And so we see a really outsized opportunity investing in these to not only have impact, but returns as well. And as a bit of a kicker here, over the last 6 to 9 months, we've probably all read about the dramatic growth in data center demand that's all coming from the increased usage of AI. So we think that is going to turbocharge this demand for clean energy that was already robust. So with that as the framework, we think one of our best ideas right now is Talon Energy. Talon is one of the largest independent power producers in the country with a strong free cash flow profile and a crown jewel asset. A little bit of history here on the company. A number of years ago, it had a bigger footprint, was a bit mismanaged, had too much debt, an unfavorable hedge profile. And ultimately, that led to its bankruptcy, which it emerged from in the middle of last year, a new leadership team and a highly upgraded balance sheet. And through the bankruptcy process, they were able to hold on to what we think of as their crown jewel asset, the Susquehanna nuclear facility. It's one of the most efficient and profitable plants in the U.S. and globally. Nuclear plants have become highly valuable due to new federal pricing schemes, which give essentially a floor for the power that they produce. And we're going to get into a lot more of that later. But the tide has really changed to the positive for nuclear power. On top of that, they have complementary gas power assets, which can capture some of the upside from more volatile power prices that we've seen, you know, most recently in Texas, but also a year ago in the Northeast during their winter storms. So we think Talon is one of the best companies out there in the public markets that's going to directly benefit from the growth of renewables, decarbonization, and this growth in AI computing. So as I was saying, we have some major catalysts coming up for the company over the next 6 months. They are in the process of monetizing some key assets and will eventually uplist to a major exchange. Now, we've been involved in three prior investments that we think have very similar attributes to Talon, and we are hopeful that this pattern repeats with this investment here. In the past, these were situations similar to Talon in that they came out of post-bankruptcy situations or a spin out of a much larger company. So already these were stocks that were underfollowed or in some cases didn't trade on a normal exchange, just like Talon. But through this process, it came out with better management teams and upgraded balance sheets, and they started selling non-core assets and returning capital to shareholders. And I'll run through a few of these examples briefly. The first one, Denbury, emerged from bankruptcy in 2020, was ultimately acquired by Exxon Another one, California Resources, CRC, was actually my pitch last year for MOI Best Ideas. And as it emerged from bankruptcy, it was actually led by the current CEO at Talon. And that stock has done well, and we're hopeful that Talon CEO will follow a very similar game plan here. And our last example is Constellation Energy, CEG. It was spun out of a much larger utility with the largest nuclear generation fleet, one of the largest in the country. That stock has done well as well. So we think, looking at this pattern here, we can see, you know, coming out of post-reorg, these stocks have done well, especially things with exposure to nuclear energy. So we think the setup is great for Talon because it has a lot of these similar attributes. Now, why are we so focused on nuclear and why do we think it's so positive? I think if you were to go back 5 or 10 years ago, the picture wasn't so rosy for nuclear, right? We saw a big growth in natural gas assets, solar, and those really drove down prices for power in certain areas and made nuclear really uncompetitive. But as the grid transitioned to adding more intermittent power, more wind and solar, many of the states realized that they could not get to their clean energy goals because of this intermittency without the addition of nuclear power. So they started putting programs in place to subsidize these plants so they would stay online longer as the grids transition to net zero power. And sort of the defining moment for this was when the IRA was passed, and this created a national program, what's known as the Nuclear Production Tax Credit, or PTC, which effectively puts a guaranteed floor on the price for nuclear electricity. And that floor will actually scale with inflation. And you can see it depicted in this chart here. This is a chart just showing different prices for power. But normally, this blue line would be straight. There would be no kink in that line. But now with the IRA and the PTC, nuclear power can generate a good chunk of profit in between $25 a megawatt hour and $45 because they have this $15 subsidy that ratchets up and down in that zone. So you have some very defined profitability for these plants in that area. And importantly, this keeps the upside wide open here. So on the downside, in terms of pricing and valuation, you know, you can really think of that cash flow is priced like a government bond. And on the upside, all of that cash flow is still retained. So some of these assets now have started to trade at very high multiples. And we think Susquehanna, Talon's nuclear facility, should trade at least in those multiples, if not higher. And then Talon's remaining assets are mostly natural gas power plants in areas like Texas or the Northeast. And this may seem a bit counterintuitive, but we think as the grid transitions to more renewables, these gas assets, specifically gas assets called peaker plants that can ramp up and down quickly, become even more important to the grid. This is due to adding intermittency. So you will have periods, especially in places like ERCOT and the PJM, where the sun goes down, the wind isn't blowing, and you can see a spike in power prices. If we look at this chart here, that is exactly what's depicted and what can happen. It's 2 weeks in ERCOT during the summer. You know, we were talking about on the previous slide, power prices in the 40 to 45 megawatt hour range. Well, as you can see here, prices can spike to almost $5,000 a megawatt hour in ERCOT during some of these constrained periods. So we think Talon's assets there are set up to do incredibly well, could generate outside profitability. And actually, as a consequence of that, Talon is in the process of potentially monetizing these assets, and that could happen relatively soon. And given the headlines and everything that's been happening for the Texas grid over the past month, we think it's great timing for Talon to be looking to see what those assets are worth in the market. And on top of that, they have remaining assets in the Northeast, where the grid operator there, just in the last 3 weeks, has come out with a projected load growth of 3x their historical average. And this is all due to the growth in data centers that we talked about recently, and this electrification of transportation and buildings, essentially putting more and more EVs and data centers on that grid. They're going to need a lot more energy to come in to the network and also stay online. So as part of that, they asked Talon to operate some of their facilities for a longer period of time to accommodate this growth. And there's even talk of increasing some of these capacity payments that could be allocated to Talon's facilities and ultimately increase their cash flows. So now let's talk about some of the competitors and comps for Talon. Well, I already mentioned Constellation, CEG. They are the market leader in nuclear power generation. You can see them at the bottom of this chart here, clearly the market leader. And that stock trades at 11 times EBITDA and the company has been acquisitive, looking for new assets to bolt on. Next would be Vistra, which is more of a traditional gas and coal independent power producer, but they now have a clean energy business that's anchored by a nuclear asset, which they acquired in the Energy Harbor deal that was valued at 11 times EBITDA. Now, after you get through those two, you don't see a whole lot of other competitors that have a large footprint in nuclear power generation. PEG has already said they're going to keep their nuclear facilities, and it's unlikely we would see NextEra, Dominion, NRG sell those assets. So we think really Talon could be one of the only companies out there with a highly profitable nuclear asset that could be up for sale in a very tight market. And on top of that, they have a very interesting data center opportunity that's tied into their plant. And I'll go over that now. Cumulus Data is the name of a subsidiary that Talon has set up. And this is a data center campus. It's over 1,000 acres, and it's directly connected to the Susquehanna power plant. The company's already spent over $250 million on this infrastructure. And really, they're a first mover in this idea that the build out of new data centers by large technology companies will increase the demand for something called 24/7 green power, or otherwise known as base load power. And all this gets back to the growth that I mentioned in data center demand, which you can see in this chart here below. U.S. data center demand is expected to grow 10% annually through the end of the decade and eventually make up over 7% of total electricity consumption, you know, basically going up 3x. And so these technology companies all have mandates to use green power. And so it's very hard for them to open up a new data center and combine it with just solar, wind, and storage. So that's where Cumulus comes in. They offer these companies the ability to open up their data center behind the meter, so to speak, and plug directly into Susquehanna, which is offering 24/7 nuclear power, which is carbon free. So the company has come out with some estimates, and they believe they have about 950 megawatts of capacity that could be sold to these data center customers at around $70 a megawatt hour. This will take time to fill up. It will need incremental CapEx for build out, but eventually that could translate to $200 million of incremental free cash flow for the company, just based on that step up in the PPA price from moving to that $70 zone. So when we think about valuation for this business, there's going to be a wide range. You know, it could be worth $5 to $15 per share. If we just look at the value of that incremental cash flow being ramped up through the signing of these deals, or it could be worth multiples of that if people start to value it like a real platform and if they bring in a JV partner to really help with that growth. So now let's run through valuation as a whole here. As you can see, it really starts with the nuclear asset and the free cash flow that that's generating. The company has come out and said that they can generate about, on the low side, 360, on the higher side, 400 million of free cash flow just with that PTC component, like in the zone where that kicks in, essentially. So it's very safe free cash flow. And on the low side, you know, we think the plant should be valued at least at $4 billion based on the comps out there. I think that would be generally on the low side. And moving on now to the gas plants. Again, there is going to be a wide range here, but a very conservative estimate of value would be $700. We think some of the ERCOT assets up for sale could get upwards of $700 million alone for those assets. So, you know, we think that's a very conservative number. Let's see, Cumulus now. Again, if we want to keep the assumptions very conservative, they've put $250 million into the campus. If they're only able to get out essentially their sunk cost, you know, we think that'd be very disappointing, but we think they can get that at a bare minimum, essentially. So if we roll that together, that gets us to our downside price target of $52 a share, about 20% downside from here. Again, I think using some very conservative assumptions there. And now moving to our base case. Our base case valuation for the nuclear asset is $5 billion. You know, based on the free cash flow the company has put out there and the market multiples that we've seen in terms of the gas plants, if you look at transaction multiples in ERCOT and the PJM, we think a more realistic value of those assets is about $1.3 billion. And Cumulus, you know, if they're only able to get this first stage of growth going, let's say, you know, the first 240 megawatts that they already have set up, that might only be an uplift of $50 million in free cash flow. But again, these would be longer term contracts. We think that value is at least $500 million there. And all of that rolls up to our base target price of $83 a share, 25% upside from here, still based on conservative assumptions. And now moving to the high case here. As I said, the nuclear free cash flow in our low end base was really just based on that PTC value, but there is upside if power prices move structurally higher. So we think in that case, the plant should be easily worth over $6 billion. And in terms of gas plants, I mentioned there is incremental upside if the grid operator, PJM, decides to allocate more capacity payments. We think Talen could benefit from that and easily add $100 million of cash flow there. So if we bump up that valuation to $1.5 billion. On the Cumulus data side, if they are successful ramping close to that 950 megawatt number, we think they'll bring on, you know, a very important JV partner, hopefully, and people will start to value it more like a platform company for providing 24/7 green power. And that combined gets us to a price target of almost $120 a share, 78% upside from here. So we think a great risk reward at this price for Talen. Let's run through some of the risks and the way we think about mitigating them. I've talked about Susquehanna a lot in this presentation, It's obviously very key to the free cash flow of the company, key to the story for the data center growth too, but it is a single asset. And so there's always the risk there that something could go wrong with that facility. It is a relatively new plant. So yes, there is that risk, but we think that risk is very low given the high quality of this asset. On top of that, there is subsidy risk. There is the chance that nuclear could lose that PTC tax credit if the IRA were to be repealed. We think nuclear has very broad bipartisan support. And even with parts of the IRA were to be repealed, we think the chances of the nuclear tax credits going away are very low. And on top of that, there's a very easy way, we think, of mitigating this risk, and that would be shorting Constellation against a long of Talon. Constellation is one of the largest beneficiaries of these tax credits, and it would also hedge against the valuation risk as well. Moving on to the next one, you know, we think it's a positive that Talon is moving to potentially monetize the ERCOT assets, bring on partners, or monetize Cumulus, the data center business. But of course, those could be unsuccessful. You know, they could not be realized or not get the prices that they want. That's always a risk, but we don't think that's really reflected in the stock price yet. And this final risk is really a risk that almost every IPP with a strong free cash flow profile faces. You know, in order to grow, you're going to have to build new assets. And if those assets are renewables, they tend to have lower returns than what your current assets are generating. So we think, given the management team and the CEO that we've known from CRC, they are going to run a similar game plan of bringing in outside capital for the growth platforms. So bringing in outside capital, if they want to grow solar and storage to complement some of their power assets, or again, bringing in a JV partner for the data center business, all partners who probably have a lower cost of capital than Talon. And really, we're hopeful that the game plan is operate these assets, generate free cash flow, and return that capital to shareholders. And on top of that, given that the history of the management team is more in restructuring, and there is a large outsized single asset, we think Talon probably fits better in the midst of a larger company. So an acquisition by a competitor, we think would be a great outcome for shareholders, and part of the way we think about mitigating that risk about around growth. So just to summarize, you know, this is a new team at Talon, but they're hopefully running what we think is the same playbook, similar to CRC and other investments. It's generate free cash flow, monetize non-core assets, and return capital to shareholders. We think they have a crown jewel asset in Susquehanna, that's going to be in very high demand. We think they also have asymmetric upside from some of their peaker plants and the Cumulus data center business. So we see upside to the current price of 25% to 78% in our high side case there. So really a great risk reward for Talon. And now I will turn it back over to John for any questions.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Alex, for this very interesting investment thesis. Just on the upside, the scenarios you showed there and also kind of this pattern recognition idea where the other three, Denbury, CRC, and Constellation Energy, had upside anywhere from roughly 200 to 400%. How would we get to those kinds of numbers here? Would it basically be a, you know, lower FCF yield on the nuclear asset plus, you know, what else would need to happen to sort of be looking at 200% upside, let's say? Share buybacks maybe?
Yes, I think it would be a combo of all of those. They have a $300 million buyback in place. They're executing on currently. So obviously that would drive per share value if they're executing on it. Like you said, if there's a lower hurdle rate for the nuclear assets or if power prices move structurally higher, we've seen that in the past. In, you know, during 2023, the very beginning part, Talen generated, you know, it was somewhere around, you know, $1 billion of free cash flow. So if we see scenarios where, you know, power prices inflect in these different regions where they have Susquehanna or they have some of these other plants, that could drive outsized free cash flows. And we've seen that with other independent power producers too. So that could go and fuel incremental buyback. And so I think in those cases, yes, you could start to see returns like those other situations. And then on top of that, if the data center business really starts to take off, if they bring in a real heavy hitter as a JV partner here, then obviously that would add to the valuation. And that is probably more open-ended upside too.
Interesting. So if you can just kind of reiterate the downside protection here, you talked about it obviously with the nuclear asset and the free cash flow. Yeah, just a little bit more color on, you know, why the downside is so well protected despite the debt.
Absolutely. Well, it comes back to that nuclear asset. That's really the key to the valuation and the downside too. So with the nuclear PTC that has been announced as part of the IRA, those cash flows for Susquehanna are fairly well locked in, even if power prices move around. Because you have that kind of government guaranteed floor price, as long as you keep your costs in check, which this management team is very focused on, then you're going to have, you know, comparing that to other multiples that have been transacted in the marketplace, we feel pretty good about that value there. And on top of that, you know, they are marketing the ERCOT power plant assets right now. So we could get some cash flows in there. Obviously, they're trying to bring on a partner for the data center business. So in the downside scenario, we think this company generates, you know, well in excess of the free cash flow needed to support that downside case valuation. And that's really where we're getting comfortable there. It's really the asset and the management team quality.
What would be the closest comparables to look at in the public markets for this asset, the nuclear asset in particular?
I think the best is clearly Constellation. They have the largest nuclear fleet. They're one of the only publicly traded power producers with an outsized nuclear presence. So I think that one is the best one to look at. Obviously, that stock has done well. It's trading at 11 times EBITDA. And as power prices have risen in some of their areas, they're capturing that upside. And it's helped to the extent that they now have an investment grade balance sheet, they're a healthier company. All these things have helped Constellation's multiple. And so we think that bodes very well for Talen. You know, and you've seen Vistra is another public competitor that you compare them to. They've done deals 11 times EBITDA with these nuclear assets. Constellation already trades at 11 times EBITDA. So we think probably those two are really the best. There's other companies that have these assets, but they're also utility companies. So they're valued very differently. But I think those two that I mentioned are probably the best.
What's the current outlook for nuclear in the U.S.? I'm just wondering whether, you know, nuclear could kind of come back due to the energy demand that's coming, and whether we could see new plants built over time, or do you think that's not really in the cards?
I think that's yet to be seen. I think the state of nuclear in this country, as we've seen with the Vogtle plant that was just barely completed, new nuclear plants are incredibly hard to build and historically have gone over budget by multiple times. So I think the new build question in the US, besides maybe some breakthrough on SMRs, is pretty questionable at this point. But the setup for existing nuclear assets is night and day changed, right? So most of these plants, even though they're a bit on the older side, they have licenses to operate for the next 20 years. And similar to Talon, most of these plants, they're going to apply for extensions for another 20 years. So you're going to have this asset that should be running for the next 40 years and is going to be one of the most important keys in the energy transition. Because, and we've seen this in Germany, right? Like, if you were to shut down these nuclear plants and still grow renewables, it would be very hard to make a big dent in the emissions profile of this country, because you would essentially have gas and some amount of coal needing to stay online to fill that gap. So we think the setup for existing nuclear plants is very good. They have an incredibly wide moat. Hopefully we'll be operating for decades more. So we think that's good. In terms of growth of new assets, we'll see. You know, I hope so, but I think we'll be waiting to get the answer to that question.
Okay, terrific. Well, I will leave it there. Would just encourage MOI Global members to feel free to follow up with their own thoughts or questions. Thank you for showing your contact information here on the screen. And once again, Alex, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today and share this compelling investment thesis with the MOI Global community.
Thank you, John. It was my pleasure.
Goodbye for now.